can't say that. I'm a little stunned. This guy ain't Aaron Donald. Let's take it easy. I want Sue back on this team for one more year. I think I'm going to be a little bit out of the mainstream on this. But shrimp, poor boy, all wrapped up in a nice wax paper and a Greek salad. If this guy shows something, I can see him making a little bit of noise this fall. It's really unbelievable.
Hey, Ira, if you've had storm damage at your house or a flood or you find mold when you're cleaning out the garage, who do you call? Where do you go?
Florida's Elite Restoration. Florida'sElitereStoration.com.
You are exactly right, Ira. You know, insurance companies, they require you to attack this damage immediately. That's why Florida's Elite Restoration is there for business owners and homeowners across the Tampa Bay area 24/7 for immediate emergency services. Florida'sElitereStoration.com. Owner Josh Martin, he was on the other side. He spent about 15 years as an insurance adjuster, so he knows how to help make sure that you don't get ripped off. It's a battle when you have a situation like this with your insurance company, and you need to get to battle with the right company, a trustworthy, honest, local company, Florida's Elite Restoration. Business owners, if you are a plumber or an air conditioning contractor or a contractor, property manager, reach out to Florida's Elite Restoration. Owner Josh Martin will let you know how he services big companies like yours all the time, so you can take care of your clients in an effective, honest, and quick and safe way. Florida's Elite Restoration. Where do you go, Ira?
Florida'sElitereStoration.com. Get there.
Buccaneers fans, here we are, the Ira Kaufman podcast, and the sage of Tampa Bay sports himself is going to give the state of the Bucs after the NFL draft. Ira's soaked it in. He's finally watched all the film on these players. Of course, these are guys he's never watched before. Central Michigan, Arizona State, University of Houston. What's going on, Ira? We're going to talk all about it and more, maybe a little news here as well that we have to share that I'm excited to run past you, Sage. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. Lee DeKemper is here. The star of the show is the king of Newport Richie, Uncle Ira, the custodian of Canton, Ira Kaufman, 71 years covering the NFL, and he continues here on the Ira Kaufman podcast and at JoeBucksFan.com. All the fun is presented by Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's first family of Ford. Order a new Ford today. It's so easy on their website, BillCurryFord.com. Sean Sullivan, the GM, is going to give you $150 just for ordering a vehicle. All the details are at BillCurryFord.com, and there's no deposit. And, of course, a nationwide lifetime warranty on new and used vehicles is legit. And you can learn about that at BillCurryFord.com. Bill Curry Ford, a mile north of the stadium on Dale Mabry Highway. They are worth the trip. And Sean Sullivan, the GM, is always going to take care of you personally. Shoot him an email, call him, whatever it is. We thank Big Storm Beer, the official beer of the Ira Kaufman podcast. And Ira, I just had some amazing mahi tacos at Big Storm in Clearwater last week. Fantastic. The food gets better and better at the tap rooms. Odessa. And they're also in Cape Coral and in Orlando at the Amway Center. We're hoping by August 1st, their big Ybor City location is going to be open, Ira. The food is amazing. The beer is even better. BigStormBrewery.com. Sage, we're going to be out at Big Storm again this year, but we're going to be moving around a little bit, even being local there in Pasco County. What do you think about that?
Stevie, you're killing me with this Big Storm stuff. You're wolfing down mahi tacos. I'm looking forward to Jenny Craig beef teriyaki tonight. I can count the particles of beef on one hand, gentlemen. And maybe I can have some mashed yeast with it over there, Lee, if I'm lucky. But I'm trying to lose weight. Now, speaking of losing weight, let's discuss the Bucs draft over here, DeKemper. I wrote the other day they did all right. I could have said they did okay. Lee, let me clarify. For Buck fans that are up in arms, hey, Ira, you missed the negative. It's not negative. It's not because, Lee, my expectations were not high. Were not. Two reasons. One, this is a very good roster. You can make a strong case. It is the best roster in the NFC. Number two, Lee, they didn't have draft capital. They didn't have it, Lee. They went in, I think they had 5 picks when it started. They didn't pick till 27. They moved back just to get some more picks. You know, Light, he wants picks. Gives them a little flexibility. So the fact that they didn't hit a home run. The national scribes are not talking about the Buck draft. I'm okay with it, Lee. It doesn't bother me. Lee, if you really look at it objectively, last year's draft didn't make much of a contribution. I mean, they didn't. Tryon was okay. Darden was a disaster.
Yes.
And then fill in the blanks after that. So, Lee, my eye's not on the draft, Lee. Here's where my eye is. And you tell me what you think. My eye is on Gronkowski, and I'm feeling good about it. But if it doesn't happen, we got a problem at tight end. We got a problem. Looking at Sue, where you and I don't necessarily see eye to eye, but I think without Sue, the defensive line is thin, Lee. God forbid something happens to Vita Vea. So, Lee, I think the expectations were muted, and I think they did okay.
Yeah, I agree with you. They did okay, and that's not a negative. Okay is not a negative, especially when you're picking 27th or worse or whatever. I slightly disagree about draft capital. I know I've said this before. You're allowed to trade future draft picks. So I just don't believe in that. When someone says they didn't have draft capital, my immediate reaction is, you mean you have no future draft picks at all? So I never bought that. I still don't. And in fact, the Bucks did trade a future draft pick to move up in this draft. To me, the draft started out as a bummer, big bummer. This Jermaine Johnson with Florida State dropped right almost in the Bucks' laps. Man, if I was light, again, I'm not light. This is not a critique. I'm not bashing him. I'm not hammering him. I'm not being critical at all. This guy built a Super Bowl winner. I never did. But, man, if that Johnson guy got that far down, I'm trading up. I don't care. I'm trading up. Because you imagine from the next decade, you got Tryon and Jermaine Johnson as your edge rushers. And, oh, by the way, Jermaine Johnson's very good against the run. I don't know if Tryon ever will be. Man, from that point on, the draft, no matter what light, who he picked, I was just going to be bummed out because of how the first round transpired. Now, here's one for you, Ira, from Pat Kerwin on NFL Radio. And this is for all the people who are bemoaning the Bucks draft. And there's a lot of them. We'll find out in 3 or 4 years if that's valid or not. Like I said, Jason Light has all the benefit of the doubt in my eyes. This comes from Pat Kerwin. Take a guess. How many rookies started week one in the NFL last year?
Whoa. 32 teams, week one. I'm going to say 35.
You're awful close, Ira. 32.
Wow.
32. Wow. So the point Kerwin was making was you're not going to turn around a team with one draft class right away. It's not going to happen. That's a really good nugget. So here the Bucks are. They're such a good team last year. Yeah, they lost a couple of players. In a way, it's almost irresponsible to expect a couple of rookies to come in and start right away and have an impact.
All right, a couple things here. First, I wanted to throw out there that on our poll at joebucksfan.com, about 80%, 75% or so of Bucks fans gave Jason Light a B or better grade in this draft. So the voices are loud that are sort of down on the draft a little bit, B minus or less. But
they always are.
But that's typically the way it is. Also, Sage, I need you to put a grade on it because I just can't go with okay. That's just not good enough for a podcast. I need a grade from the Sage. You can think about that for a minute. And let me throw this out there, Lee, also on Jermaine Johnson. The word out of New York is that the Jets were said after the draft, and they told this to Johnson because he talked about it at his news conference. The Jets were trying to trade up for Johnson starting at the number 15 pick in the draft. And they went,
They
went down the line 15, 16, 17. We'll give you this. We'll give you this. And they couldn't do it. And the Jets had, because of their draft position, had better capital than the Bucks did. So I don't think the Bucks ever had a shot to get
them. We also don't know what they were offering either.
No, we have no idea.
And we may never know, Lee, where Johnson was slotted on the Buccaneer board. Lee,
exactly.
Not every team looks at the prospects the same way. You know that.
Exactly. I agree with you. You're absolutely correct. 100% correct.
Now, Stevie, let me throw this out at you. I think this is an interesting facet. The fact that the Bucs didn't use, I believe it was, a pick on a tight end till day three, to me, when they could have traded up for McBride, possibly, in round two. That's a little bit of an indication that they believe Gronkowski's coming back, and I think they know now whether Gronkowski's coming back. Am I wrong, Isbitz?
I think you're right, but also tight end is one of the more difficult positions to contribute as a rookie. And, you know, essentially the first pick of day three really is like a day two pick. So, you know, I mean, if he went in the third round, I don't think that would have mattered for my answer. Yeah, I think they believe Gronk is coming back. Why not? You know, Gronk's got his Gronk Beach to take care of first and other things. And, you know, they know that he doesn't need to show up until July.
Let's get this straight right here and now, Lee. I think you're with me. The second tight end that the Bucs picked, that guy's Luke Stocker. That guy's not going to catch any passes. That's Luke
I got
Stocker.
A better one for you, Ira. And I thought of this morning after I talked to Sean Sullivan, our draft guru. Now, Sean, I told this to Sean. Sean evidently didn't like the pick. And I just told him, I said, Sean, I got to be honest with you. I can't get worked up over a sixth-round pick. The sixth and seventh round, you're just throwing crap up against the wall and hope it sticks. You're probably better off with an undrafted free agent than a sixth or seventh rounder. And he didn't like my answer. But anyway, here's a better analogy. Anthony Auclair.
Yeah. Yeah. And Lee, here's the funny part. If you're a good blocking tight end, a willing blocker, and a good blocker, Steve, you can have a nice 8, 9, 10-year career in the NFL, make your money. You know, you're not going to play to fanfare, but you can have a nice career just by being a blocking.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Did you see his video, Ira?
Yeah. Yes.
It went in a garage. That Ira, that is so Midwest. The only thing that was missing was somebody in the background slicing deer sausage with a pocket knife.
All right, Sage, Ira, I'm keeping you on track here first because you didn't give me a grade yet, but you will get there. But let's go down the picks.
I got it right now. I don't need another 25 minutes, Isbitz. The Bucks get a C, and I'm okay with it. The Bucks get a C.
Lee, you want to throw a grade in there?
B minus.
Okay.
All right, Sage, I'm going to compare this to the rest of the league, which is, I think, the only way to do it. I'm going to give a B minus as well. I'm going to stick with
Lee. You know what? A B minus is not bad when you're picking 27.
Well, I might have given a better grade if they didn't draft a punter, but we'll get there, Ira. We'll get there. All right.
You're going to hack off the wrong people, Steve. Careful.
All right, Sage, here we go. Now, the Buccaneers, so they trade down, and with the first pick, all day to think about it, they choose University of Houston, versatile big defensive lineman, Logan Hall. The guy's 6'6", 283. On the radio, SiriusXM NFL radio, the Mark Dominic, Pat Kerwin, Rick Neuheisel, who were leading the live draft show in Vegas, they were talking about how he's sort of, Dominic was likening him to maybe a little faster, slightly twitchier version of Will Golston, and that he's more of a Will Golston kind of player. Daniel Jeremiah said that also he may be better outside because I don't know if he can hang on with the big boys inside, although Jason Light and his team said Logan Hall, the attraction there was his inside rushing. What do you think of that pick? What do you think it all means?
Lee, here's my interpretation. I'm unequivocal about this. They liked Logan Hall. They didn't love Logan Hall. If they loved him, they would have taken him at 27 and not let five or six picks go by and let somebody else take Logan Hall. Lee, I mean, you can't argue with that.
That's very fair.
Lee, after the draft and after Logan Hall is a Buccaneer, you know, what's Light and Bowles supposed to say? Well, you know, we were sure that Logan Hall was going to be there at 33. No, you were not. You can't say that. You got intel on some teams, but you don't have that kind. You don't have certainty, and you don't know if a team's going to trade up that likes Logan Hall into the spot. So, Lee, I don't know where this guy fits. I think they're going to try him at 3 technique. That leads me to my next point, and I'm going to ask you this directly, Mr. DeKemper. Because you were involved. You were involved on Friday night. At the end of Friday night, out came Light and out came DeKemper. And if I'm not wrong, Lee, you asked about the pick, the first Buck pick, and how it impacts, if at all, the chances of signing the Ndamukong Suh. Did you not do that, Mr. DeKemper?
I did ask the question. Specifically, I asked him, does this shut the door on Ndamukong Suh returning?
And what was the answer?
Well, it sure didn't sound promising when lights start saying, hey, you don't know if you're going to have injuries during the season. During the season.
Did you feel, Lee, once you asked the question and it was answered, did you feel less confident that Sue was going to be a Buccaneer?
Less confident.
Absolutely, Ira. It was just Jason Light. It was not Todd Bowles. For some reason, they didn't bring him out. A little strange, but okay. Yeah, Lee asked him, and the vibe was, well, yeah, maybe if we need him. You know, it was no endorsement of any kind, and I think everybody sitting in that room felt a lot like when Jason Light said, well, Ronald Jones, he's been a good player for us. You know, that was kind of how he answered the same way. So
that sound like the Ronald Jones. And we waited one day, Lee, and said, at the time, Ronald Jones is now an ex-Buccaneer. That's what we said. Look, I might be the only guy that's saying this out of the three of us. I look at the depth on the defensive line. I know it's a three-man front. I think they need the Ndamukong Suh. I know he wants to be paid. But the guy is reliable. He's durable. I don't see a big drop-off in efficiency. He is kind of a leader in that locker room. And, Lee, if they don't have him, with all due respect to Logan, if they don't have him, God forbid something happens to Vita Vea. God forbid.
Yeah. You know, our good friend Ian Beckles does local sports radio, and fairly or unfairly, he's been on a crusade forever on Gerald McCoy. I don't know if Gerald McCoy took a leak in a cereal or tried to steal his wife or I don't know, but the guy's just absolute crusade trying to crucify Gerald McCoy. And when they replaced him with Sue, which eventually they did, you know, 2019, Beckles points to that as the turnaround for the Bucs. He goes, this defense got tougher and it got stronger because of Ndamukong Suh, and it never would have with McCoy. Your thoughts on that?
I don't always agree with Beckles, but I'm totally behind him. Steve, bringing in Sue, that was a great decision. I'll give Light most of the credit. I'm sure Bowles was a factor, and it sets a net tone up front. And I got to tell you, Steve, I said it before. I wasn't doing cartwheels about Ndamukong Suh when he first became a Buccaneer. He's shown me a lot in 3 years. Maybe he's asking for outrageous money, and they just can't do it. You know, they wanted to keep Jordan Whitehead, Steve. They didn't do it, ultimately. They didn't feel it was the right move with the money. And so maybe that's the case here. But, Steve, if they're close, I think they're being penny foolish by not bringing him back.
We don't know if they're close. We don't know if Sue wants to play this year. We don't know if Sue would prefer to come back later in midseason. Maybe he and Light have already talked about, hey, what if I come back after the trade deadline kind of thing and, you know, close it out. It's my last year, run for the glory here. I'll give you 3 months and you give me $4 million. I don't know, but it will be interesting, but I think it's time for me to throw this out. Ira, I was going to wait on this, but I will throw it out now.
Uh-oh.
Now, like I told you, Ira, Dominic was on NFL radio Friday night and, you know, fans have their opinions of Dominic. Say what you want to say. It's all fair game. However, Dominic, this year, is SiriusXM NFL's official draft guru. He's been, putting in the homework. He did the conference call for 2 hours talking about every prospect live. He's on the radio as their draft guru. And Dominic still has guys who worked for him in high positions at $1. Mike Greenberg, Shelton Quarles, scouts. I mean, he's very well plugged in there. And it's reasonable to think that, hey, he made a couple of calls and said, hey, what's going on with the Bucks? I'm the draft guy this year for SiriusXM NFL radio. What do I need to know? What's going on around the league? It doesn't mean they told him who they were going to pick. Well, the Bucks, of course, had the first pick in round two on Friday night, which means that there was a lot of chatter leading up to that pick, killing airtime because they're the first ones to go. So they were talking a lot about the Bucks. And Dominic was very clear, Ira, very clear, that the discussions are going on at $1 to bring back Jason Pierre-Paul. Now, this was before the Logan Hall pick. And so I'm putting that together. I'm like, okay. Then they go out and draft a guy who could replace Sue. I'm starting to believe, Ira, tell me if you guys think I'm nuts, that the Bucks have decided that, hey, if we got to wait this out and Sue's got his line in the sand, that we'd rather see if JPP is healthy. If he's healthy, we'd rather have a healthy Jason Pierre-Paul on this team than Ndamukong Suh. And if we have to wait to July to figure out what the situation is, we're going to wait.
I'm a little stunned, Lee. I'm a little stunned. I'm a little verklempt, Lee. I'm verklempt.
Oh, what a great word. I've never heard of this one. Verklempt. Awesome, Myra. Thank you.
Yeah, that means I'm reeling. I'm stunned. Lee, I waved goodbye to JPP like 3-4 months ago.
Wow. And
I never looked back. I've never thought he was coming back because of his age. And unlike Sue, he misses a lot of time. Now, the guy's a warrior. I don't know why I think this way. Maybe it's just the way I'm built, the way I'm wired, Lee. And tell me I'm crazy. When I hear Isbit say that, quoting Mark Dominic, the first thing I think of, darn it, the very first thing is maybe Tryon isn't all that. Maybe Tryon isn't all that.
Here's the fly in the ointment to that theory about the Bucks might bring JPP back. Now, the Bucks social media department, and I know the social media department is not privy to the inner workings of the football operations, but the social media department put out a graphic of our Bucks new lineman, Mr. Logan, wearing a number 90. And above the graphic was the number 90, meaning that's his number.
Wow.
Well, guess who number 90 was the last three or four years? JPP.
Good work.
The social media team, is not connected to the football operations. And in fact, they don't know the inner workings. They don't know what's going on as far as roster building. But you know the Bucks hierarchy, Light, etc., Bulls, they saw that. Because didn't Light reference some Twitter that the Bucks put out in his press conference over the weekend?
And JPP might have seen it too, Lee. He might have seen it.
Well, I don't know how much he's on Twitter, but I'm sure someone brought that to his attention. So if that was put out in error, I would have thought that, number one, it would be deleted. Number two, someone would have said, hey, that was our mistake. We don't know what his number is yet. Neither of which has happened.
Steve, here's an aspect of these Buck free agent situations that I find it's really unbelievable in this age of social media. Everybody gets talked about. I mean, everybody.
Yeah.
Have you seen, like, anything about other teams being interested in JPP or Ndamukong Suh? I don't see anybody being linked to these guys.
JPP was tied to the Cowboys, Ira, and Suh, nothing yet that we've heard of. I understand, but these are unique situations. I mean, Suh doesn't need the money. He's 35 years old. He probably doesn't want to go to a brand new team. I've never heard him talk about wanting to play 2, 3, 4, 5 years. He's never put out some sort of Tom Brady statement. JPP, though, did say last year that he wanted to go at least a few more years, and he's younger, a couple of years younger. And again, if he's healthy, if he rehabs, and right now he's not, and you don't know, but if he gets healthy and he puts in the work and he can pass a physical and looks like a beast, I don't know what Todd Bowles thinks. And this is really the X factor, because if Jason Light looks Bowles in the face and say, hey, we could wait till July and pick Suh or JPP and see where JPP's at, maybe Bowles is like, look, I like the leadership from JPP. He's got the potential to play more snaps. Suh played the fewest snaps he ever had in his career last year, and he's on a bit of a pitch count, which he's talked about before. Like you said, Ira, maybe if there are lingering questions about Joe Tryon and Todd Bowles thinks, well, if JPP's healthy, you know, we could wait it out. I don't know.
It's not crazy, Steve. Now, JPP's not going to play for the NFL minimum, gentlemen. Nor should he. I don't know how many options he's going to have. I know I'm with Lee in terms of JPP's competitiveness, his pain tolerance off the charts. No question about it. You can never question that. But at this point, I think Suh is the more sure commodity. I want Suh back on this team for one more year. He's only going to sign for 1 year. I'm okay with it. Lee, a year from now, they could be in rebuilding mode. And Lee, they need to get a little younger on the defensive line. And JPP doesn't help in that regard, especially if you're thinking about Suh. So I just think they're a little thin up front. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe Logan will get the job done. But this guy ain't Aaron Donald. Let's take it easy.
All right, Ira. Second round, Jason Light sits still, and he waits, and he grabs Luke Getteke, guard prospect from Central Michigan. And of course, we know Jason Light's history, been very successful with the interior linemen. He was a Division III guy, and then he moved up to Central Michigan, was a two-year starter there. Didn't play in 2020 because of a torn ACL, but obviously he's back now. He was injured in the Senior Bowl, didn't really do much there. What do you think? Luke Getteke, Central Michigan, Wisconsin guy.
Classic Light pick, and Lee says I'm going to love this guy. He's mean, he's nasty, and he's articulate. That ain't bad, Lee. That ain't bad. You know, I tend to drift towards the offensive lineman anyway on a normal day. And so I'm going to be all over Getteke. Lee, I think I'm going to be a little bit out of the mainstream on this. I don't think he's going to be the starting left guard. I don't.
No, I agree with you. I agree with you.
Doesn't mean it's a bad pick. I think it's Stinney's job to lose. Now, look, Stinney doesn't have a long track record. But the fact that he played against some very good defensive linemen and you didn't mention his name on a championship team in the playoffs, I think that goes a long way with Light and Bowles. I don't think they want to start a rookie guard if they can help it. You know, and Hainsey's in the mix a little bit too. So
I agree with you, although if he blows up in training camp, maybe that's different. Glaringly obvious that the Bucks aren't completely sold on Stinney. Right. You just look at his contract.
Steve, do you feel there's any trepidation? Because I do. In having a rookie lineman protecting Brady. This guy's not Tristan Wirfs.
No, I don't think there's any trepidation. They'll watch these guys practice. If he's better, he'll play. And Tom Brady's smart enough to know that if Getteke looks better in September, what's he going to look like in December? So I don't think they'll hesitate at all. Brady played with plenty of rookies in New England of all draft tiers, third round picks, fourth round picks. And our good friend Shaq Mason started as a fourth round pick for blocking for Tom Brady. So I don't think so. I think if he looks as good as the others, they'll throw him in there and hope that he develops. At worst case, what do they got? They got a strong backup.
And in terms of development, and Lee, I know you're with me on this one, this particular coaching staff, which won, helped win them a Super Bowl, and maybe the O-line coaches in particular, they've earned our trust in terms of developing young talent. They have.
Yes.
You know, it's a tough spot. They have to see it. And I don't know, I can't sit here with any reasonable decency and tell people, yeah, Luke Getteke can block pass block for Tom Brady. Because they'll excuse him if his run block isn't that great or if that takes time, but he's got to be able to pass block. We have no idea. All right, Ira, third round, the Buccaneers switch over to running back and they grab Rashad White, Arizona State, a guy who worked his way up from junior college and has an interesting story. Ran for 1,000 yards last year. He actually accounted for 30-something percent of his team's offense. So he had a target on his back. I mean, this was not somebody who was just another complimentary piece of Georgia or something. He was had a bullseye on him, and he caught 40-something balls. He's a tall running back, got some pretty good speed, and an interesting choice here. Some people think he's very good. Lee was in touch with Sean King, who confirmed that Sean King thinks he's the second-best running back in the draft. And, of course, we've seen plenty of running backs taken late third round, fourth round over the years. Some are good, some aren't so good, and some are eh. So what do you think of this guy?
Some of his numbers at Arizona State were kind of eye-popping. They were. You know, his receiving numbers, his yards per carry, very impressive. Now, guys, Herm Edwards is throwing out Marcus as a competitor. Now, take it easy. Come on. Calm down. First of all, Marcus Allen might be the greatest goal line runner in NFL history. Fantastic receiver out of the backfield. And an easy Hall of Famer, you know, without much debate. So let's calm down. I like the pick. Having said it, Lee, I don't think he's going to get a lot of touches as a rookie. I just don't. He may take some away from Gio Bernard, and he may boot Gio Bernard off this team, Lee, if this kid looks good in the preseason. I mean, he just might. But, Lee, I think standing in his way, and it's not so much Keyshawn Vaughn, Lee, but the fact that Fournette, who we worried about, Lee, we did a couple of years ago, as a target out of the backfield, and I think that this is that's this kid's strength. Fournette's turned that completely around. He's catching a lot of balls. He's showing pretty good hands. And Brady trusts him as a target. And he seems, you know, he's a third down back right now. So, Lee, I like the pick, but I'm not sure he's going to be an immediate contributor. But I'm okay with it.
Not an immediate contributor, not much of one. I sort of agree with you, Ira. I got to be honest. I've seen a couple of his games, but it wasn't like I was focusing on him. You know, when I watch college football, mostly, I'm doing it for entertainment. I'm looking at macro view. So unless someone jumps out at me, I'm probably not going to, like, oh, wow, I wonder if he could play in the NFL or play for the Bucs. I'm watching it as a game, as a fan, as enjoyment, as entertainment. He really didn't jump out at me. But then again, I wasn't looking for him. For example, a few years ago when Penn State played USC in the Rose Bowl, I wanted to see Chris Godwin. So every play, I was looking at Chris Godwin. So, you know, a couple times I've seen Arizona State play, I might have been focused more on their quarterback, where everybody, you know, all these college football people thought was so damn good. And I'm like, eh, really? So that running back really didn't jump out at me outside of one or two runs.
Steve, I believe he's got kind of an upright running style, this kid, which doesn't mean he's not going to make it because, you know, Eric Dickerson ran upright too and ran his way to Canton. But we'll see about him as a running back. But I think what really opened the Buckeyes about this kid was his skills as a target out of the backfield. And we know how much, you know, and Lee, we know how much after 2 years of Brady, we know how important that is.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you, and we've said on previous podcasts that, especially after Leonard Fournette signed that big contract, Tom Brady probably has 1 year left. They are going to burn out Leonard Fournette this year, I think, in ways that we haven't even imagined. Yeah. You know, they're going to give him that ball. They're going to throw him that ball. They're going to use him as a three-down back and let him lead the way. And I doubt that Rashad White's better than Leonard Fournette right now. And keep in mind, Keyshawn Vaughn, playoff game, the win against Philadelphia. I mean, they're giving him 17 carries. He caught the two balls thrown his way. I mean, there's some confidence there in that guy. He played half the snaps in a playoff game and was coming on later in the season. And, of course, Giovanni Bernard is back because they trust him, or Tom Brady trusts him. So it's going to be hard for White, but, hey, I hope he can light it up a little bit. He'll certainly get a lot of action in preseason, and, you know, that's a good situation for any rookie.
Absolutely.
All right, Sage, Bill Curry Ford, BillCurryFord.com. Shop there now. Very simple. Bill Curry, that's the family name. C-U-R-R-I-E, BillCurryFord.com. Check out their website. Just shop around, look around, look at their transparent pricing. Check out that nationwide lifetime warranty on new and used vehicles. Learn everything you need to know, and then reach out to Sean Sullivan with any questions. He's the GM. He'll talk to you personally, help you personally, give you that Ira Kaufman discount. And Big Storm Brewery, oh, the food, Ira, the food is just so good, Ira. I'm sorry about your Jenny Craig, but Big Storm Brewery, that's where you want to eat. Tap room coming later this summer in Ybor. It's going to be big. It's going to be fun. And the food is fantastic. Check out the menu. And of course, all the great craft beers. The Bromosa is their top seller. The Tangerine IPA, BigStormBrewery.com. There you can find where to buy it near you, all over the state, New Jersey, wherever you might be. And that's it. Big Storm. We love Big Storm. All right, Ira, look, moving down. The next pick was that top of the fourth round. The guy you mentioned a little bit earlier without naming him, Cade Otton, tight end out of Washington. The Bucs have had a lot of success with players out of Washington. Jason Light seems to trust whatever intel he's getting out of Washington. The guy's 6'5", 247. And top of the fourth round, you called him, you said the sixth round pick, actually. I apologize. Co-Kieft. I'm not sure if I'm saying that right. The tight end out of Minnesota was a Luke Stocker type. What do you think of Mr. Cade Otton, tight end, Washington, as that choice right there?
Unlike some of these other picks, I think this kid has a chance right away. Mm. Two reasons. One, although we think Gronkowski's coming back, maybe to a 75-80% degree, he has not signed a contract, and you never know. So if he doesn't come back, that tight end room is pretty bare. It's damn bare. It's scary bare. And number two, if Gronkowski's back, can we really expect him to play 17 games, Lee? Probably not. I think the Bucs would take 14 right now if you told them that, hey, Gronk's going to start 14 games for you next year. They'll take it. So what I'm saying is, Lee, when I look at who's ahead of Otten, you got Brait and a bunch of unproven guys, and Brait's a backup. Lee, if this guy shows something, I could see him making a little bit of noise this fall. I could.
Oh, I agree with you, Ira. What, you know, we talked about Keith earlier. Hopefully we're pronouncing his name right. We're not. I apologize. We were talking earlier how, you know, you thought he was Luke Stocker. I thought he was Anthony Eclair. Basically, we both agree that he's a blocking tight end. And, you know, you could make a nice little career of being a good blocking tight end. Well, this Otten guy, and by the way, whenever I type out his name, I really have to struggle not to type Cade McNown. I really have to struggle. So my apologies to this young man from Washington. He reminds me, Ira, of a combination of Cam Brait and Luke Stocker. And when I told that to our friend Sean Sullivan, he would not let me explain. He was so outraged when I said that. He would not let me fully explain what I meant by that. He can catch like Cam Brait. Cam Brait has a knack of getting open short and medium distance. That's what this guy does. But he can also block similar to Luke Stocker. He's not a crushing blocker, but he's very much a willing blocker, whereas Cam Brait, yeah, I think he'll even admit he's not a good blocker. So I think he's a combination of both those guys.
I'm with you, Lee. I think that's a good scouting report.
Sage, Sage, let me turn your attention to the division. Forget about the Saints draft, which, you know, filled the need for them at left tackle. They had lost Teron Armstead. They got their first round left tackle in the draft. They drafted a Chris Olave, a big receiver, a real wild card situation there with Michael Thomas coming back. What's he going to look like? And of course, Olave is a great talent, and that can really open it up with Thomas there. But more interesting to me is today the Saints signed Tyrann Mathieu to a big 3-year contract. And that's official, sticking him into one of the best defenses in the league. What are your thoughts there? And so much for the Saints and their salary cap issues.
Well, I've watched Tyrann Mathieu very closely the last 2-3 years. Good player, but I'm not sure he's a difference maker anymore, Lee. I think he's seen his best days. I think his value is for leadership. Steve, I'm going to lean on you a little bit here because I believe the Saints lost a very good safety in free agency. I can't remember the guy's name. Supposedly, the Honey Badger is there to replace him. I think this guy is a better player than Mathieu is right now. Look, Lee, the Saints still have some pieces. Dennis Allen, now the head coach, he's a very good defensive mind. Demario Davis is a heck of a linebacker. They got Cam Jordan. They got Lattimore. Lee, they got some defensive pieces. I think Michael Thomas is the key to whether the Saints go 8-9 again or they go 10-7. I mean, this guy was the best receiver in football, Lee. I'm not talking about 10 years ago. And he's a buck killer beyond all belief. Kills the Bucks. But he's been missing in action for a couple of years. Olave's going to be good, Lee.
Yeah,
that kid's going to be good. And he's going to really be good if he's opposite Michael Thomas. So who knows what's going on with Michael Thomas? Who knows where his head's at? Steve, did you find that safety?
I didn't have to find him, Ira. They actually lost two safeties. Malcolm Jacobs retired, and Marcus Williams was the guy who left in free agency. But the Saints did have some depth already at safety. And so, yeah, it's not a true addition like I sort of painted the picture there, where he's coming in and and nobody good is leaving. But in comes Mathieu, and I don't know, Ira, you've watched him more than I have lately, but it certainly seems like if he was at the top of his game, he would have had a contract sooner.
I'm with you. I think Marcus Williams is the better player than Mathieu right now. I don't think Matthew's at his peak. I think he's past it. But he's going to be more than a serviceable player. He'll help organize that Saints secondary. But Lee, overall, when you look at the rosters, the Saints can't come close to matching the Bucks. Just can't.
Here's some really quick and yet interesting breaking news about an NFC team. Well, there's a reason why the Cardinals went out and traded for Hollywood Brown, Antonio Brown's nephew. DeAndre Hopkins, 6-game suspension, PED violation.
Oh, boy. This has not been a great offseason for the Arizona Cardinals, Lee, with all this nonsense about Kyler Murray and his extension, and now Hopkins. Oh, boy. And they certainly, you must have known about Hopkins and what was going to come down, Lee.
And now we just need the Bucks to get their game in Arizona scheduled while he's suspended, or maybe his first game back. That would be
good thinking.
Okay, Ira, look, after Cade Otton in the fourth round, the Bucks get a punter, Jake Camarda, Georgia, fourth round punter, Ira. We don't get to say that too often. Bradley Pinion is obviously gone, although the Bucks, you know, had a serviceable punter. That's what's ironic to me a little bit, is that when Pinion wasn't there last year, when he was out hurt, Bucks use another punter. Nobody was screaming. You can find punters without using a fourth round pick. Of course, it's just a fourth round pick, so it's not a big deal. But obviously, he's gone. Pinion's gone, unless this guy sucks. And then they'll end up saving a couple million plus on the salary cap, which is money they could use for a variety of ways. Your thoughts?
Good analysis, Steve. In my opinion, Lee, Pinion worked his way off this team. He was very pedestrian last year. His kickoffs, which was one of his strong points, if not the strong point, I believe he led the league in touchbacks a couple of times. They fell off last year. His punting average fell off. His net punting average fell off. He didn't have a very good season. And I think Keith Armstrong had seen enough. Not that he was terrible, but he was no longer a top 10 punter in the NFL. Here's a chance to get younger, cheaper, and I have no doubt that Camarda is going to win this job. And Lee, you save money wherever you can as long as you don't hurt the team.
Yeah, I read someone wrote over the weekend that the insinuation was the main motive that Jason Light had to drafting a punter in the fourth round was to save money. That didn't jive with me. The overall picture of saving money, I get. But you could do that with an undrafted free agent. I mean, you wouldn't have to do that in the fourth round. Now, to be very fair, I will repeat, like I said earlier, Jason Light has street cred. He's built a Super Bowl winner. So I'm not gonna rag on this. But getting a punt, if you drafted a punter in the fourth round just to save a couple million dollars, that seems a bit extreme.
No, you think you've upgraded the position, Lee.
You would hope so. And by the way, I know I've written about this before, but I just can't remember. When is the last time a fourth-round pick made an impact with the Bucks?
Wasn't that Darden's spot last year, Lee?
Don't get people fired up, Ira.
I'm sorry, Lee. Sorry.
I'm trying to think off the top of my head. Quan Alexander came in, played really well out of the gate.
Flash in the pan.
Well, he made a Pro Bowl. Yeah. He played pretty well.
Yeah, and then they got rid of him, and ever since it's been a steep decline.
I'm trying to think of a quickly off the top of my head. Well, it doesn't matter now, Sage. Hey, look, Ira. So next up, the Buccaneers, they traded up. They used their fourth round pick in 2023 to get back into the fifth round in this draft. And they drafted Zion McCollum, cornerback, Sam Houston State, and speedster. Okay. 39.5 inch vertical leap, 4.33 40 yard dash at the combine. A lot of fans are going bananas. They're going crazy. They love this guy. They think this is fantastic. Ball hawk, 13 picks in college, that kind of thing. And I look at him and yes, fifth round pick. So you always have to take a step back. But Ira, I would have to remind fans, Jamel Dean, he ran a 4.3 40 yard dash faster than Zion McCollum. Jamel Dean, 40 inch vertical leap, more explosive. And, they're pretty similar length. And Dean might be longer, slightly longer arms. You know, this guy's going to come in and he will hopefully play special teams and compete and be a talent, but I don't expect him to play.
We got a name for a guy like this. He's a project, Lee.
Yes.
He's a project. Yeah, he's got the size speed ratio, but, you know, so do 10 other guys that were available in this draft at corner. Lee, the obvious knock on this kid has got to be the quality of the competition that he was playing. Who the heck's he covering? And now, you know, he's going to be covering Jamar Chase. Let's hope he's not, Lee. Let's hope he's not. Or he's chasing Jamar Chase. But you know what I mean. Lee's a project. The overarching thought is, Lee, if he doesn't make it, no big deal.
Yeah.
We heard, Lee, last year, Chris Wilcox, I believe they drafted him in the sixth round. Wilcox last year. And I'm sure, I don't have the quotes in front of me, but I'm sure when the draft ended last year, They said some very nice things about Chris Wilcox and how we really like this kid and think he's going to come in here and be a real player for us. And Lee, he didn't make it to game one, week one. He didn't make it. Who cares? No big deal. Happens all over the National Football League. If you hit on a fifth-round pick, that is one hell of a feather in Light's cap. So, Lee, I'm not trying to dump on the guy. The odds are against him. I like the Buck coaching staff in terms of development, but he's a project, Lee.
He's a project, but it's a promising project because he's so athletic. I watched one game of Sam Houston in one of their playoff games. And he didn't jump out at me, but then again, I wasn't looking for him. He should have jumped out at me. But you watch his highlights, he looks like he's a man among boys. But here's the kicker. There's some analytics outfit that specializes in athletic, what do they call it, metrics? I hate that word. Right. They factor in all the athletic abilities of a guy, and they got some kind of mumbo-jumbo multiplier or whatever, or you know, spits out the information. This guy had a perfect 10 for athletic ability, however they measure it. And as far as cornerbacks with his athletic ability, they said the five cornerbacks who were most like him as far as athletic ability, one was Kevin King, starting corner with the Packers, you know, Scotty Miller's favorite buddy. Number two, Marshawn Lattimore, pretty damn good cornerback. Number three, Darrell Revis.
Stop right there, DeKemper. Get yourself a sandwich. Cup of coffee. Let's not mention this kid's name with Revis Island, because Revis is likely to be into the Pro Football Hall of Fame next February.
Oh, I'm not comparing him to those guys. I'm just saying his athletic measurements. Now, being an athlete's one thing. Being a football player is another.
Steve, let's hope the best. I mean, if the kid's a player, that's a hell of a pick.
Sage, what interests me most about Zion McCollum is what you like to call investiture. They coughed up a 2023 fourth round pick to grab the guy. That's how it's always going to be viewed inside the halls of One Buck Place. I don't think he'll be given up on before 2023 even arrives. So I think he's got a great shot of making the team. I'd be stunned if he didn't. And you should be able to work with him. Like you said, a project. All right, Ira, in the next podcast, we're going to talk about if we'll see if there's an interesting undrafted free agent here. Maybe. Sometimes there's one or two. Maybe. And we'll get a little bit deeper on the sixth and the seventh round pick. I got a story about the seventh round pick that we can get into in the next podcast. That's Andre Anthony out of LSU. But Lee, I wanted to throw it to you real quick. You can tell us whatever you think. A couple of things we need to know about the Man in the Arena series. It closed with the Buccaneers. And of course, hopefully there's another Super Bowl and another edition of Brady's Man in the Arena series on ESPN. But I know you wanted to tell Ira a couple of things about what you saw.
Well, I know Ira didn't watch it because I know you don't want to spring the $7 or whatever it is for ESPN Plus. So I know you didn't watch it. And I'm not sure if Steve watched it or not. First off, Ira, just a real quick background. This was spoken through the eyes of three people. Brady, Gronk, and Brady's dad. Now, we all have this image of Gronk, and it richly deserved, that he's a borderline buffoon, super nice guy, big-time partier with really ridiculous athletic ability. And he plays that image up. You know, just look at the videos over the weekend, him and Gronk Beach and his girlfriend Camille Kostick at Encore Beach Club at the Wynn in Vegas. And so he really plays that image up. He really does. But in this episode, it was very much, and I don't think it was on purpose either. But Gronk came across very much like a really intelligent, really thoughtful, excellent teammate. And I'll give you a couple of examples. First, remember when Arians said that one of his biggest worries early in training camp in 2020 was that Bucs players would be starstruck with Brady?
Yes.
Evidently, that was the thing. That actually happened. And Gronk was talking about it. And he said, guys were standing around. He called it starstruck. They were starstruck. And Gronk actually went to these guys individually and said, look, guys, he's just like you and I. He's trying to get better. He bleeds red like we all do. He's a human being. He's just your teammate. He's not this god. You gotta bust your tail in practice. You have to do this. We don't have any time. We don't have time to mess around because it was, you know, a shortened off season. And at one point, Gronk told somebody, "We can't be standing around googly eyed. We don't have the time." Now, is that's that like a completely different image of Gronk than what you're used to?
It's like the first time you met me, the Kemper. Same.
Almost. Yeah.
Actually, Ira, it's like it's when you had that mustache going, people were staring at you googly-eyed.
Now, Ira, is that a different image of Gronk than you're used to?
It is, but Lee, you said something, and I think it's worth repeating. With his devil-may-care image and this party-goer, he's very intelligent. We should never lose sight of that.
I guess the only other thing I would add to that, Ira, I know you and I have discussed this several times. Arians and Brady not being on the America's game about the Bucs winning the Super Bowl that year, that really cheapened that episode because the whole season was about Arians and Brady, specifically Brady. Well, now I know why Brady didn't do that, because basically he did the same thing, only it was for his production company that he was selling to ESPN. And if he did the America's game, it was kind of, you know, he shot his wad, so to speak.
And Arians wasn't on Brady's or America's game because Brady said, if you do one of those shows, I quit. All right, Ira, say goodbye to the people. What do you want them to know as you escape this podcast?
Well, I didn't go to one Buck place for the draft, and I wasn't feeling guilty about it or second-guessing myself until DeKemper sent me a tweet with a picture of a shrimp poor boy all wrapped up in a nice wax paper and a Greek salad. And then I started wondering what the hell I was missing over there, Lee. Was it as good as it looked?
It was pretty good. But Ira, let's be honest. You know, your wife was under the weather and you didn't want to leave her. And that's very noble.
I've got my priorities, gentlemen.
And Cocleaf isn't one of them, Ira?
I'm taking my wife over Cocleaf in a close decision. How do you like that?
You're not taking her over a shrimp po' boy, but, you know, a tight end any day.